From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are so glad you're on board. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. That's on the loans by Kip.com. Toll-free talk line. You want to chime in, feel free to do so. Talk some Brewers baseball coming up here. Also, Mark Grody, Chicago Bears sideline reporter, as we continue our look around the NFC North, is going to join us here at the bottom of the hour, so stay tuned for that. You know, we talked with Jim Paschke a little earlier, and I had a lot of people start to... A larger number than most, we'll say, start to get a hold of me, whether it's social media or email. And when I had talked to him about LeBron and LeBron's legacy, and some people said, well, how can you say that his legacy has grown when he didn't win anything yet? My question to you, and I want to bear with me here. My question to you is, how can you say it didn't? They basically traded away the team that they had put together for LeBron that was dysfunctional after the Kyrie Irving deal. They dealt that trade and blew it up with six players and brought in kind of a new team, and they still find themselves in the Eastern Conference Final. When they've needed him the most, he has been by far the most dominant player in the postseason. You'd be hard pressed not to agree with that. When you think about it, I mean, come on. He has been just all that. When they needed him to close out that Raptors season series to just embarrass the Raptors, you know, DeRozan and Lowry and, you know, Ibaka. I mean, they were supposed to be this dominant team. And LeBron James comes in and very quietly drops 29, blocks a big shot, has 11 assists, 8 boards. You know, I mean, come on. He's been fantastic. So, I mean, there are LeBron haters for whatever reason that are out there. I don't understand it, but whatever. But you go back to the game that they won prior to that, when LeBron James dropped 38. Hitting a big shot down the stretch, game winners. I don't like to get into the comparison of Michael and LeBron because I think it can become erroneous. It's you're comparing eras, styles of basketball. They never played head to head. It's very difficult. Okay, there's a level of greatness that we are seeking, whether it's 1-2 or 2-1, whatever. But I know one thing. I'll say this. I am privileged to say that I watched Michael play and I've watched LeBron play in my lifetime. You know, for those that say the same thing about Red Auerbach's Boston Celtics teams when Russell was playing. I mean, I go back to when the Celtics and the Showtime Lakers were going at it. With Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, I mean, you start to look at those teams, and then you look at what Magic and Company did with Kareem. Come on. Saw those. There's been some damn good basketball that's been played throughout the decades. But what we're witnessing is two guys in Michael and LeBron. And the only thing I can say is I think LeBron has had less talent around him than Michael had. And then you get into the whole argument of game winners, and LeBron's got more game winners. But then if you're a Michael enthusiast, you'll say, well, Michael was blowing teams out, so he didn't have to hit as many game winners. But some of the more famous game winners obviously has propelled him on to NBA titles. And then look at his record in the finals, and then look at how many finals have been played with LeBron. And, you know, look, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. But LeBron James is probably top 3 or 4 players of all time. Walton, Jabbar, Russell, that was the big man era. That's when the game went through the big man. The big man in the middle was your beast, your scorer, your rebounder. Those guys were the guys you went to. And then the outside shot, which for a period of time was a two-point shot, not a three-point shot, was just an outside shot. So you went with a high percentage shot. You played the inside game with the big man. Now a big man is needed to facilitate the outside shot and to clean the glass. That's what you need a big man for, kind of an enforcer in the middle. They're not looked upon to be big scorers anymore. So the game itself has morphed and changed. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648, on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Just your thoughts. I mean, I know there's some of you who just don't like NBA basketball. That's fine. I'm not asking you to say I hate NBA basketball, so I don't watch it. Because that's to me, don't waste your time. But watching what LeBron James has done this postseason has been more impressive to me than what he did with Miami, than what he did when he won a championship with Cleveland. It's because he's doing it with two teams. He did it with the first half team and then the second half team, which didn't look very good. And everybody said, well, this is not going to be his year. It's gonna, you know, LeBron's on the downside, and you're going to see eventually somebody overtake him, and they've just got too much firepower with DeRozan and company in Toronto, and so this is probably it for LeBron. And damned if you don't find him here all over again. You know why? Because LeBron said, hey, guys, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to make sure everybody gets worked into the mix. I'm going to make sure everybody gets their touches. But when it comes right down, when the chips are down, just get the hell out of my way. Because I'm going to go ahead and win us a series. So you just jump on my back and I'll take you to the promised land. And that's what he's done. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. I would love to hear from you. Get your opinion on this. This portion of the program brought to you by our terrific friends over at Bud Light. They are the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And it's not that far away. Less than 3 weeks now. When Wednesday Night Live is back in the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion stage, Rebel Grace is going to be the first band out of the chute as Wednesday Night Live is going to be back, and the summer nights are going to be right around the corner, and cannot wait. It's all brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Don't forget, Wednesday night, May 30th, my charity, the St. Ben's Community Meal, we're going to be there. That's the first charity out of the chute that's going to be there as well. And there's some bike nights that have closed around the area, which means it's going to get bigger and better, and there's going to be more people there, and it's just turned into such a huge party over the years. And now that they've opened up Goose Island along the side, it's so much fun. Come on out to Wednesday Night Live at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. If you're a motorcyclist, you ride right in. And if you're in a car, I think it's $5 or something like that, $6 to park. And by the way, admission free. Just to walk in, no problem. Here you go. How are we looking? There you have it. 855-830-8648. I just want your opinion. This one is from a Bucks and Six. Said, thank you. I know I'm not alone now on this one. Not only has LeBron dominated this series, he is coaching this team, not Ty Lue. This one is from Fruit Loops, who says, LeBron is the best player on the planet. Thanks for recognizing that. I know you've been anti-LeBron for most of your life. I'm not anti-LeBron. I've never been. Look, the only time I was anti-LeBron is when you start to take on too much as that guy. We talk about it all the time. We talk about it with Aaron Rodgers. We talk about it with numerous players. And the whole argument between Shaq and Charles Barkley that we aired yesterday is talking about how much you do or do not coddle players and what you do to kick them in the pants to get them to play better. Because great players sometimes know they're great, and they can come off of the pedestal of greatness at times, and you got to kick them in the pants to get them great again. I don't dislike LeBron. I think he's a fantastic player. I think coming into the league, the level of immaturity probably was far greater than the level of maturity between those around him, his mom, the bankers, the agents, everybody. He rubbed people the wrong way when he came in. You know, he just did. And as time went on, you began to respect him, and then you began to like him. Unless, of course, he's playing against your team, then you hate him. But I think there's so many more people that have swayed over to the LeBron side of things that they're now looking at him in a different light. He just wears on you after a while. Tell me the misstep that he's given you. I mean, yeah, he's been bigger than the team at times, no doubt. If you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, you hated his guts when he left, and you loved him when he brought a championship back to your city. Um, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Fair or unfair, I think most people that don't like or don't appreciate what LeBron does is because of the way he handled leaving Cleveland to go take his talents to Miami. That's from Jed, who tweets us at Bill_Michaels. Just wanted to mention that. That's all. Not that we have to get into a deep discussion regarding that. We can talk some more LeBron, talk some Brewers baseball when we come back. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next. Show on the air. We are always glad you're on board. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com. Toll free talk line. And this portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends over at Quick Trip and Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery. I've been talking about this for quite some time now. A reminder that we are coming back, or coming for the first time, actually, as far as the Tobacco Outlet Plus cigar dinners go, to the Madison area for the first time. Thursday night, June 7th, we're going to be at the Wisconsin Brewing Company in American Way in Verona. And if you want to get tickets to the event, there's only 50 tickets available. And you get a cocktail hour early. You get dinner, which is catered by Wood Barbecue. You get kind of the pre-dinner, the dinner itself, and then some dessert. They've always had that. They do a raffle. They give away so much stuff. You get four cigars. You get a dinner. You get a couple of cocktails, all included with your ticket price. And the place to get tickets out there in the Madison area, at Tobacco Outlet Plus on Sherman Avenue in Madison, on Willow Road in Wanakee, and then the Quick Trip on County Road PB, actually in Verona. So those are the places out there to get tickets. You can always go to Quick Trip, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com. And it's a great time. You have the cocktail hour. You have the dinner. Afterwards, we have a raffle, and then we have kind of the Q&A, and it's a blast. It's an absolute blast. If you haven't done it already, I encourage you to do so, and then you're going to walk away going, oh, okay, that's what they're talking about. It's a lot of fun. And even if you don't smoke cigars, that's fun. You can still come out. And if you're not a dude, you can still come out. Guys, bring the wives if you want to, because we had quite a few women last year that came out and just really enjoyed it. So if you're a sports enthusiast, come out. We're going to have a great time. Coming up Thursday night, June 7th. Out at the Wisconsin Brewing Company in Verona. So get your tickets at Tobacco Outlet Plus and Quick Trip. Milwaukee Brewers got beat yesterday. We talked about this a little bit. We touched on it and didn't get too deep into it. I wanted to explore it a little bit further. Is this, if you're a Brewers fan, and I had mentioned this yesterday, and I got a few people that kind of came back, so I wanted to bring it up again. But if you're a Brewers fan right now, are you of the thought this is great and we're sitting right there on the cusp as you start to look at the standings and you say, you know what, for everything that's going on, all the adversity the team has faced, okay, they're tied a half game back right now behind St. Louis. They're a half game ahead of Chicago, okay? There's four teams right now. They're just kind of vying for that top spot in the National League Central, okay? There's still one number that bothers me, and I'll get into that coming up here shortly. But are you looking at this going, you know what, this is not a bad way to go? Okay, I'm pretty happy with where the Brewers are, and I'm excited. Or are you saying, holy mackerel, look at what's coming. Look at the month of May that is about to hit this team. As you go on the road for four against Colorado, and then you go for three against Arizona, and then into Minnesota for three before coming back home to Miller Park to face Arizona in a three-game series, the Mets in a four-game series, and then St. Louis in a three-game series. You have a proving ground when it comes to the month of May. Big time, okay? Think about the teams that you're about to face. Okay, out west, the Arizona Diamondbacks have just been fantastic. 24-12 on the season. They're a plus 34 in the run differential department. Colorado only 3.5 games back. 21-16. Again, over 500. The Mets, a game over 500. Three games behind Atlanta in the East. 18-17 on the season. Yes, they've had their problems, but they're a team that's over 500. St. Louis, obviously over 500. But you're going to face Colorado, Arizona. Then, don't forget, you still have to go to Minnesota. Now, Minnesota is two games under 500 in the Central, but they're only a game back behind Cleveland, who's at 500. Cleveland not having a great year, but still hanging in there when it comes to winning the Central. And then, obviously, the teams in the East are just, you know, between the Yankees and the Red Sox, they're just pounding the cover off the baseball. But my point being is, you're playing some damn good teams. And you're going to play Arizona six times. You're going to play Colorado four times. You're going to play St. Louis as well. And then into the mix, you're going to throw the Mets and the Twins. 855-830-8648. Or, if you're a Brewers fan, think about this now. With all the adversity, the injuries, the up and down offense, or are you sitting there going, this is where the wheels are going to fall off? This is where the wheels are going to fall off. The one number that really bothers me is -3. In the category of run differential, St. Louis is plus 19. Pittsburgh is plus 18. Believe it or not, at 19-15 on the season, the Cubs are plus 43. Plus 43. And the Cubs down in Chicago keep waiting for the bats to wake up. They're plus 43. The Brewers, -3. -3. Now, let me give you some perspective here. Arizona, plus 34. Obviously leading the West. But Colorado, -16. -16 in run differential. Minnesota, -16 in run differential. New York, -14 in run differential. So as much as you may say these are teams over 500, and as far as the winning records go, this is what it is. You're correct. But in the ability to just beat them, when you look at a daily game as, I just need to get one more run than them, the Brewers still have that ability. They're right there. Arizona's going to be a tough call. Colorado, they can beat. I mean, at the very least, you hope they split with Colorado, but you'd like to see them win 3 out of 4. Arizona's going to be tough. I still think they can win in Minneapolis, make it a successful road trip, and then come back to Miller Park, face Arizona again, get a little home cooking, maybe get 2 out of 3 there. You know, but you got to look over your shoulder, and then you got to make it meaningful at the end of the month when you face St. Louis. 855-830-8648. Are you waiting for the wheels to fall off, or do you believe that this team is ready to roll and you're kind of saying the prayer in the novena, saying, you know, boy, thank God, because this team just continues to win, even though right now with the injuries and such and the bats being somewhat in flux, things seem to be somewhat stacked against them. Give us your thoughts. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at New Mail Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders as well. They have a 98% success rate. That's 98% success rate. And they get it done, you know, better than anybody. And let's be honest. I mean, there's other things out there now, other entities out there now trying to emulate what they do. I mean, that's the sincerest form of flattery, I mean, and compliments, is that people are trying to do what you do because you do it better than anybody else. So stick with New Mail Medical. All you got to do is call them, 414-455-4451, 414-455-4451. They also have the low T treatments if you're kind of feeling run down and moody and sluggish, or the all-in-one weight loss program, which works. 414-455-4451. Let's go to the phone calls. KJ's in West Dallas. KJ, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, you paint a real nice picture, Bill, but I don't have as much optimism as you do on this. They can, put it this way, they can not win their division, but they could certainly lose their division in this upcoming month.
Right.
In this next stretch. The Colorado can hit the ball. Nolan Arenado is going to light their pitching up. They're going to put Brett Suter out there. Just think about who's going to be their starting pitchers. Okay, you got Brett Suter, because you already lost Wade Miley. He's done deal for a while. You're going to throw out Junior Guerra, who has struggled in his last couple of starts. You got Chase Anderson, who got his tail walloped the other day, and he hadn't been throwing the ball well. So what I'm saying is your starting pitching is going to be very, very suspect, I think, on the road. So you're going to go to your bullpen, and your bullpen has been your strength right now. Your hitting has been one of the weaknesses, which was supposed to be something that was going to be the thing that was going to carry you. I mean, when we came into the season, we were thinking, yeah, not so much the starting pitching, not so much but the hitting is going to be good. We got two new guys, Yelich and Kane, and we're going to have this guy, and Travis Shaw is going to be knocking ball. All this, I mean, the only thing that's come true is that Yelich and Kane have been consistent. Everything else has been on the if-come, based on what it was a year ago. If this guy could come through the way he did, if that guy can come through, if RC can continue to do what he does, you know, and he's just been struggling. You have no production at all at shortstop, the worst in the major leagues, bar none.
It has been the second base position I'm not totally unhappy with. It's just kind of puzzling the way they've been using VR. I agree, Arcia hasn't been what everybody has hoped he would be. I still, though, when I look at optimism, though, as the season warms up and the weather gets better, remember, Arcia didn't get good till about the middle to the end of May last year, so I'm hoping that he really starts to kind of get through this.
So there you go. You're back on the if-come, Bill.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay. Hey, if you look at the numbers right now and say this is the way it's going to play out the rest of the season, then you're probably going to end up third place in the National League Central.
That's where I project them. I say the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Brewers, maybe even the Pirates before them, if things play out the way they're going, which there's a large enough sample size right now, Bill, that, I mean, it's not like we just came in a couple of weeks into the season. We see what these guys are right now. So hopefully they get better, but I'm not that optimistic right now the way things have shaken out.
No, nope. Appreciate it, man. He jumps off. You get on board, 855-830-8648. He's right in the sense that when I went through the statistics yesterday, when you look, 1,000% correct. VR is having a better year this year, 30 points higher than what he was last year. You know, so you're looking at that going, okay, you know that, you'll take that. Arcia, though, struggling. I mean, you talk about Hernan Perez and Sogard and company. Those guys were coming off the bench. Those guys were getting base knocks. They were contributing, and they're not doing that this year. I mean, so much so that, you know, obviously Sogard not with the team. So you're not getting that. Arcia is not giving you what he gave you last year. Even Travis Shaw is having somewhat of a day. And that's kind of puzzling in the sense that, you know, Travis Shaw can do it. I mean, it's not a matter of that. Because Travis Shaw, I think, is a very good player. I will say this. In Travis Shaw's, I don't want to say defense, but in Travis Shaw's case, remember last year he had all that going on with his daughter. His daughter was ill and living at Children's Hospital, and he was coming to the game, playing, and then going back over to Children's Hospital. And you thought coming into this season, that stress would not have been there, but it hasn't materialized as of yet. But, you know, Christian Yelich, as you mentioned, hitting just about 300, 299 with an 821 OPS. Lorenzo Cain, 274, 816 OPS. VR hitting 270 with a 640 OPS. Again, 30 points higher than what he was hitting last year. Domingo Santana a little bit down, 259 with a 665 OPS. Obviously, you're waiting to get Eric Thames back because I do believe he makes a difference in that lineup. But Ryan Braun's numbers, 243, 734 OPS. He's had some big hits, but it's been kind of all or nothing. Travis Shaw, after last season, hitting only 223 with a 762 OPS. Hernan Perez at 212. Orlando Arcia at 212. I mean, it's just Jed Bandy, 196. Manny Pena, who was a 300 hitter last year, 167 with a 546 OPS. Sogard was hitting 100. That's terrible. I think I could do better than that. That's terrible. That's why you have to have a little bit of hope that as the season winds on and as the weather heats up, that so do the bats for some of these guys with the Milwaukee Brewers. When we come back, I'm going to switch back over to the NFC North. I want to get the lowdown on the Chicago Bears. Mark Grody, the new Chicago Bears reporter for 670 The Score. We're going to talk with him about the weaponry they're going to put around Mitch Trubisky, how much better, how quietly they're putting together a really, really solid defense, and how the schism has shrunk, or at least in their minds has shrunk, between the Bears and the Packers and the Vikings. Mark Grody, next on The Bill Michael Show. Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Thanks so much, as always, for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate you being here. Good stuff today as the sun has popped out on this Thursday. Talking a lot of different things. We talked some basketball a little bit earlier with Jim Paschke. We talked some NFC North with Andrew Kramer of the Star Tribune up in Minnesota. Talking a lot of Packers football as the Packers have now kind of grouped, got their rookie orientation done, and they continue to move forward. And the biggest question is how have they really, I shouldn't say question, have they put enough around maybe Mitch Trubisky in Chicago to make him viable? But they have very quietly put together a really, really solid defense. To talk more about it, I know it's still a little bit strange to me, but Mark Grody, the Chicago Bears sideline reporter, it's just weird to say that, but he's joining us from 670 The Score down in Chicago. So Mark, how you doing, man?
I am doing well, Bill, and we have that same sunshine here in Chicago that you guys have in Milwaukee. So it's a great day to be outside for sure, so I think I will take a little dabble in later on.
It's my understanding that they have now put a life-size cardboard cutout of Danica Patrick in the clubhouse or in the locker room, and they're going to take a piece of clothing off for each and every win because they're mad at her, right? Yeah!
I haven't heard that, but that sounds absolutely wonderful. Anything, because the Bears have been so good at getting inside the head of Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. They've done a fantastic job. You know what? Roquan Smith, I tell you what, there's nothing to dislike about this guy as far as roaming the middle. I mean, I don't know if you got another Singletary on your hands, but this guy's got everything, as I watched a lot of film on him going into the draft.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think the thing that stands out to me most is that, and I would say this different from like Singletary, as you mentioned, that this guy, he is terrific at going sideline to sideline. So that's a little bit more Urlacher-esque. I'm not comparing him to Brian Urlacher because he doesn't have the same physical gifts, I don't think, that a Brian Urlacher has. But to have a guy that can do just about anything, cover just about anybody, he's a good, I mean, the 85 solo tackles last year, that was fifth in the nation. I mean, I think that's a very specific skill set when you're able to make those open field one-on-one tackles. Yeah, Bill, I mean, there's not a lot to complain about in terms of Roquan Smith. He was a safe pick for the Bears at number eight and at least on paper, the rough draft, a terrific pick.
There's a lot of talk about this team really very quietly building an incredibly strong defense. Now, obviously, a new head coach in Matt Nagy, but the biggest thing to me is they kept Vic Fangio, who I thought was fantastic, and he wanted to stay in Chicago. And I think this defense is only going to get better with Roquan Smith leading the middle. But how much better do you think? I mean, I guess my question is, can Bears fans sleep better at night knowing the defense that they have now in place?
So absolutely. I mean, the defense was, you know, a top 10 defense last year very quietly because they weren't dominant. They didn't, like, blow you away with things they did. But Vic Fangio is one of those coaches, as you mentioned, the Bears defensive coordinator, who finds a way to maximize his players. I mean, this was a team that in a 3-4 defense, as you know, that it's not great when one of your three defensive linemen is the leader in sacks, as Akeem Hicks was with 8.5. So you need to get more from your outside linebackers, and that being Leonard Floyd, who spent 6 games being injured last year. You know, he was another number one pick out of Georgia, just like Roquan Smith. So more is expected of him in terms of sacking the quarterback. But yeah, I mean, you have a pretty solid defense already. You guys know about Kyle Fuller because I know Green Bay, you know, took a shot at getting Kyle Fuller. You know, he was one of the best cornerbacks in football last year. If you look at a lot of the numbers, Prince of Bukamara is back at the other corner spot. You have two solid safeties, a veteran in Adrian Amos, and then a second-year guy in Eddie Jackson, who was tied for the team in interceptions, albeit only 2. So, you know, and that brings me to the one other area that the Bears need more takeaways, more interceptions. more of those kind of explosive plays on defense, because that's why, if anybody, like said, how, if you know, but I think that a lot of people in the NFL who don't pay as much attention to the division would not single out the Bears' defense as one of the better ones, just because they don't have that dominant force on it. But maybe, just maybe, they do with Roquan Smith and hopefully a healthy Leonard Floyd at the outside linebacker spot.
How much have they done to actually, because to me, they've got a pretty good line. They got some depth in the draft. Now the question is, can they put it all together for Mitch Trubisky and make him viable? Have they done enough?
I think so. I mean, I think, like, you start with the biggest move of the offseason still is the signing of Allen Robinson. I mean, you got one of the three guys that you had to get with, you know, Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, and the Bears get Allen Robinson. So that was huge. They also got Taylor Gabriel, who is a good slot guy. He can also play the X if need be, but one of the fastest guys in the NFL. So, and then you have Trey Burton, this incredibly versatile tight end who was on Philadelphia. Just to remind people, he was the guy, if you don't remember who he was the guy who threw a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl to surprise everybody with a little Doug Peterson matchup for the Philadelphia Eagles. So he's a guy that they can, you know, they call him their U tight end. He can line up just about anywhere. And then maybe Kevin White, the Bears' 2015 draft pick, their number one that year. Maybe he's healthy this year. Maybe he gives you something. But I think that the most important part here, well, Allen Robinson, the most important part, but the part that really put them not over the top, but I think where they need to be, was the drafting of Anthony Miller, the wide receiver out of Memphis. The Bears moved up in the second round to get him. He's a guy that had 18 touchdown catches last year that was tied for the best in the nation, and that's what the Bears need. They need guys who can get in the end zone, playmakers. They were led by Adam Shaheen last year, their tight end, second-round pick from last year in touchdowns with only three, and that's simply not good enough. So it looks like, again, I like using the word rough draft. The rough draft says, yes, they've done enough. Now there's just a lot on Mitchell Trubisky. We still don't know. I mean, he obviously has to be good at great to be worth the pick that he was number two overall last year and moving up to get him. We still don't know enough about Mitch Trubisky from the sample size last year if he's going to be good.
What's the difference between Matt Nagy, and I I say this almost giggling because just the two listening to them speak are vastly different, but between John Fox and Matt Nagy has a certain, you know, I guess the way he wants to do things and how he wants to work with Mitch Trubisky offensively and such, but John Fox really kind of held him back. He didn't want him to do too much and didn't want to hurt his confidence. So what is the difference between coaches and how, you know, Matt Nagy is going to use Mitch Trubisky?
Well, you know, even before the Bears signed their free agent wide receivers and obviously before the draft, Matt Nagy was, and this is basically what the Bears said, no wide receiver. Matt Nagy was saying, we are going to throw the ball downfield, that we are not going to allow teams to sit back and wait for the intermediate 10 to 12 yard throw. So right there, that's a major difference between John Fox and Matt Nagy. And again, it's important to keep in mind, this is before they had any kind of semblance of the offensive weapons that they appear to have right now. So he's got that in mind already, a forward thinking, both figuratively and literally, that he's going to throw the ball forward. So I think that that's a huge difference in terms of the mindset of John Fox, who, you know, he's been a good coach in his career, John Fox. I'm not going to be wrong, but he's won, you know, his philosophy is win with defense, win with running the ball, and win with doing just enough in terms of the passing game, the side of having Peyton Manning, which, of course, changed the script for him a little bit when he was with Denver. But, yeah, I think that he is offensive-friendly, that he comes from offense as his major and his background. He has Mark Helfrich now as his right-hand man, as the offensive coordinator, who's never, you know, coached in the NFL, but obviously he knows what he's doing when it comes to some elements of a spread offense, as Mark Helfrich, the old Oregon head coach. So I just think it is a major stress on offense and not always being conservative and letting this guy, Mitch Trubisky, be at his best and show the arm strength that he has, show off the accuracy that he should have. I just think it's just the coaches are so quarterback friendly.
In a minute's time, tell me the optimism for this team closing the gap on both the Packers and the Vikings.
You know, it really comes down to Mitch Trubisky. In terms of closing the gap on Minnesota, I don't think they will much. You know, from a Chicago perspective, you know, Green Bay still comes down to the fact that they have Aaron Rodgers, and it's been like that since Brett Favre. Sometimes it feels like it doesn't matter what's surrounding those guys, and using Aaron Rodgers specifically, assuming he is completely healthy from his collarbone injury, I still think that, you know, the gap might be closed, but I haven't done any kind of picks yet in the division, but I'd still put the Packers ahead of the Bears at this moment. And it's so hard to predict because none of us knows what Mitchell Trubisky is going to be like. I mean, he showed flashes, as we'd like to say, of being good to great at times last year, but then he had some terrible moments, some terrible games in terms of, you know, eluding pressure. He was sacked 31 times in 12 games. A lot of that was his fault. 7 interceptions, 7 touchdowns, 4-8 as a starter. You know, he was okay as a rookie, and we grade differently on a rookie scale, but now in his sophomore, second-year season, now we got to see something. And until we know more about Mitch Trubisky, it's really hard to put a prediction on what the Bears are and what progress they're making in the division.
Always good to chat, my friend, and we will talk again down the road as camps become more prevalent, okay?
Yeah, thanks. I'll be at rookie minicamp this weekend, man. You guys have a great day.
You too, Mark. Talk to you soon. There you go. Mark Grody, Chicago Bears sideline reporter, 670 The Score, giving us the breakdown of what the Bears are doing in the NFC North. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. Speaking of the NFC North, Matt Patricia in a little bit of hot water over in Detroit. The team is standing by him, though. We'll tell you about what that's coming up. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they get it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michael Show next. Bill Michaels' show is on the air. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. And if you got something coming up, whether it's a tailgate party you're going to have, or maybe you're going to, you know, kind of hang at the house tonight, watch some Brewers baseball, or whatever it happens to be, or maybe you're just hungry, you want to take the family out for some good food, go to Cousin Subs. I highly recommend the pepperoni mug. Get the Bill Michaels extra mayo, extra cheese on the Italian bread. You're good to go. Side of Radio Joe cheese curds, and that's fantastic. But otherwise, if you got a meeting coming up, you got something that needs to be catered, you got a graduation party around the corner, check our friends at Cousin Subs out. Go to cousinsubs.com. That's cousinsubs.com for all that they have to offer. That's cousinsubs.com. Matt Patricia I don't want to say in specific hot water, but the Detroit Lions coach passionately is expressing his innocence during a 7-minute news conference today. This is a 22-year-old aggravated sexual assault indictment in Texas had been leaked to the media. Patricia, like he did in the statement Wednesday night, said he was falsely accused of one count of sexually assaulting a woman in South Padre Island, Texas, during spring break back in 1996. That's when this stems from. He said, "The truth is on my side. I lived with the mental torture of the situation where the facts can be completely ignored or misrepresented with disregard to the consequence and pain that it would create for another person. I find it unfair and upsetting that someone would bring this claim up over 2 decades later for the sole purpose of hurting my family, my friends, and this organization with the intention of trying to damage my character and credibility. I was innocent then. I'm innocent now. Let me be clear. My priorities remain the same: to move forward and strive to be the best coach, teacher, and man I can possibly be." The indictment, by the way, never went to trial, and the case was dismissed in January of 1997 after the woman who made the accusation was unable to testify and cannot give a date certain when she will be available, according to the dismissal papers. The victim didn't feel that she could face the pressures or stress of a trial. The victim may request that the case be refiled at a later date. Now, the paperwork said then that the woman had requested the dismissal. The case never was brought to trial. And Patricia declined to get into the details of the evening. According to the indictment received by ESPN, who got it, Patricia allegedly had, sex with a woman, or at least without the woman's consent. And he and his friend, Gregory Dietrich, compelled the victim to submit and participate by the use of physical force and violence. And she feels like she's now ready to talk about it after a couple of decades, and coincidentally, after he becomes the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Which, you know what, I'm not saying that has anything to do with it. I'm just saying, coincidentally, he's now the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions standing behind their coach. They would not say whether they're, you know, I mean, I put it this way. The Lions are going to remain quiet and let the legal process play out. That's pretty much what everybody says. But Matt Patricia in some hot water, at least, you know, perceptually, PR-wise, when it comes to this particular case. When we come back, Phil Rogers, longtime baseball columnist, he's going to be joining us. We're going to talk some baseball when he comes back. Also, Paul Emig is going to join us as well, our green and gold analyst in the next hour. Stay tuned. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up after this.